Yes, I cannot wait to be chatting to our next man here on Thursday's edition of World Football Daily. We haven't stepped into the world of Bundesliga for a very long time because of the extended winter break, but it's back. It's going to be on our TV screens very soon once again. I'm delighted to welcome back and wish a happy new year to Mr. Kit Holden joining us here on WFD. Kit, how are you doing, mate?
I'm all right, thanks, mate. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Very well indeed. Firstly and foremost, we had the World 11 that was announced this week. It was all La Liga players. What's been the reaction in Germany to this? Because the English media has gone berserk about it. What about the German media?
Interestingly, there's been quite a lot of articles supporting it, which personally I was a bit disappointed by because I thought it was ridiculous myself. But actually, yeah, there seems to be, and a lot of the German press, particularly the broadsheet newspapers and things there, and after 2012 particularly as well, there seems to be this kind of wariness of hyping German players too much. And so I think they were quite keen to say, oh yeah, no, none of the German players did deserve to be in it. And also they had this embarrassment of the Ballon d'Or of Löw voting for Özil, which, you know, was obviously a completely ridiculous vote because, you know, how can anyone vote for anyone but Messi? But, you know, certainly you can't vote for Özil, as he's the best player in the world last year. So that I think actually there's been a little bit of embarrassment throughout 2012 at just how badly the hype has fallen on its face. And as a result, from what I've seen anyway, I mean, I haven't kind of really sort of studied the reaction to it, but from what I've seen, it's actually been sort of quite supportive and said, oh yeah, La Liga is the best and Spain are the best, and, you know, we've got to live with that for now. So it's been curious in that respect.
You yourself just said you didn't really agree with it 100%. Who from the Bundesliga would you throw into that World 11 then? Who's deserving of a place?
Well, I think there are a few. I mean, there's no one, I think, who would definitely deserve a place. I think players like Reus, Manuel Neuer, possibly Philipp Lahm would be kind of the first few that you think of. And then there's a few others. Mats Hummels, although he's had a bit of a turbulent year with the national side. Players like Schweinsteiger and Gross, you might kind of hang around the edges there. But I mean, I don't think there are too many. Özil perhaps as well, he's had a good year. There are not that many. I mean, Reus is the one that stands out for me in terms of the form of 2012. Neuer, I think, you know, hypothetically, had Savic, Rolic and Bastian Schweinsteiger scored their penalties and Bayern won that shootout against Chelsea, Neuer would be the hero and he'd have got the best goalkeeper, even though he wouldn't have done anything different himself. But he would have won them two shootouts rather than one shootout. And it's a curious thing how football can kind of do that to one player, even, you know, without any of their own input. But that's how it happened. And, you know, I mean, I can see the point of picking Casillas, and Neuer perhaps is up there with Casillas and Cech and a few other keepers, and Reus is up there with other attacking players. So there's no one who definitely deserves a spot in that team, but there are four or five, the ones I've named, who perhaps could be in contention.
Kit, we've got another week after this one to wait until the Bundesliga restarts again. Plenty's been going on, though, in the winter break. The big signing in English terms is Lewis Holtby coming to Tottenham at the end of this season. How likely, though, is this move to take place in January with a bit of extra cash being thrown in for Holtby leaving Schalke?
It's not entirely unlikely, but I'd be surprised because I think Schalke are in a very, very difficult situation at the moment, and now they're resigned to losing him completely. Their next priority will be to keep him for the last 6 months. And he is a very big professional as well. It's not like if they do keep him for the last 6 months, he's going to go off the boil and not put in 100%. He's a professional. He's got a lot of respect for the club. And I think, you know, they'll be fighting very, very hard to keep him there. But obviously, if it's a big amount of money, then, you know, Schalke have got their own financial problems. So it might see that happen, but I wouldn't put any money on myself.
Are Schalke looking for replacements for Holtby already? What's been the kind of reaction post Holtby agreeing to join Tottenham at the end of this season?
Well, I mean, not that I've seen. I mean, there are a few kind of, there's always sort of transfer links with, you know, when a player leaves, and there's always, you know, how are they going to replace him and the rest of it. But I think the big question with Holtby is how it will affect the whole squad psychologically, and whether this kind of will set a precedent for other players who are in contract negotiations leaving as well. I mean, you know, Huntelaar renewed his contract, which was a massive thing for Schalke, and even more so now that Holtby hasn't, because had Huntelaar also not, I think Schalke would be staring down the barrel of a shotgun at the moment. They'd be in a really, really serious situation. With Holtby going, I mean, you know, he has played very, very well this season, and he's, you know, he's sort of filled the gap in certain ways left by departing players like Raul and others. And, you know, he is going to be a big loss for them, but I don't think he's completely indispensable. I mean, you know, we shouldn't get carried away with how good he is. He's a very talented player, but, and he's had a lot of influence at Schalke over the last couple of years, but he's not on the level of a Royce or a Götze or even, you know, someone like a Kroos, or, you know, it doesn't have to be an attacking player, obviously, but, I don't think he's really kind of a superstar yet, and so I don't think he's going to be indispensable for Schalke, but we'll see. But I think the big question at the moment is how Schalke reacts in terms of the squad and in terms of the psyche of the team to a big player leaving.
There's obviously the big positivity that's come out of this winter break, though. As you said, Huntelaar re-signing. Is there any kind of frustration about how long it's taken to get Huntelaar to re-sign, especially, you know, dragging it out to the point where we were so close to him being able to open up negotiations with other sides?
No, I think, to be honest, they were so relieved that he re-signed, you know, that any kind of frustration just went out the window. I mean, you know, I think even very optimistic Schalke fans would have been perhaps a little surprised by that contract renewal, because, you know, it came after the massive dip in form. It wasn't like, you know, he stalled all the way through when they were playing badly and then suddenly they started playing well and he renewed. It was the other way around. And that, in a sense, perhaps shows that he's kind of, the decision is a more mature one and a more long-term one, and it's one he's actually given consideration to, and so the wait has been worth it, and it's not just him kind of perhaps stalling for more money, although obviously that might be a factor. But no, I think generally, you know, particularly with Pelpy gone now, they're just relieved more than anything that he's still going to be there and still going to be scoring goals.
Affalay for Schalke's had a bit of an injury blow. Expected he could be out for another 2 months or so. He's had a bit of an injury plague time at Schalke. With Affalay kind of possibly being sidelined for a long time, and obviously Holtby going after the big kind of lift that they had from re-signing Huntelaar, what do you get of the atmosphere around Schalke going into the second half of the season? Because as you said, they had a terrible end to the first half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult to gauge. I mean, this is kind of classic Schalke, this sort of up and down thing, and massive highs at one period and then suddenly massive lows again. And I think the whole debacle with Stevens, I said the last time I was on the show, the whole sacking of Hugh Stevens and how quickly that happened, for me, betrayed that there might be some more underlying problem with the psychology of that squad. There, you know, Jens Keller, with all due respect to him, hasn't got much experience at the Bundesliga level. They lost, it's only a friendly, but they lost 5-0 to Bayern in a friendly the other day. I mean, it doesn't look bright for them, if I'm honest. And I think the most they can hope for now is that they secure a European spot and hopefully a Champions League spot, and perhaps get a bit of joy out of one of the cup competitions. The Champions League, not the final. But you know, if they can get through to maybe the quarterfinals of the Champions League, then who knows? And you know, they might buoy the spirit of the team. But at the moment, it's looking bleak for Schalke.
Kit, there's been plenty of other talk around the Bundesliga about potential moves. One of them's Lewandowski and this move to Manchester United that every so often keeps getting thrown around. Can you clarify something for us here at WFD? Is Lewandowski signed any deal at all with Manchester United? Has a fee and a deal been agreed for the end of this season?
Not that I have heard of. Unless I've missed something absolutely massive, then I could say absolutely not. Because I think this move, it's an interesting one, because all the signs say it's coming from his camp. And, you know, whether that means that he does actually want to move to United, whether it's just a power play to get more money from Dortmund or to get more money from a potential other buyer at the next few transfer windows, who knows? But for me, I mean, you know, you watch English football as well, it's not like Manchester United desperately need Lewandowski. They've got, you know, plenty of attacking options. I'm sure they would take him if they had the opportunity, but they're not going to be held to ransom over him. So I think the only real kind of source for these rumours, you know, without kind of casting aspersions or saying anything libelous, is that it must be coming from somewhere within Lewandowski's camp. And, you know, that for me is kind of, that can be interpreted in many ways. That can mean that he wants out or that he just wants to stall so for more money. And, you know, I don't think he's going to go. I think he's happy where he is. I think he's happy playing his football at Dortmund, and perhaps if a bigger club came along and offered him a load of money, he would go. But I don't think he's in any immediate sort of rush to get out of Dortmund by any stretch of the imagination, and certainly I've not heard anything about a deal, whether it be official or under the table.
There's obviously a lot of talk about players leaving the Bundesliga, especially leaving Dortmund, with Götze's name being thrown around as well. Is there anybody you're expecting to be bringing in a fair few players, or any big names at all in this January transfer window?
Well, no, actually. I mean, it's an interesting one. Bayern, obviously, are main suspects for any kind of big signing, and they've got that out of their system in the summer. They're looking now to go through young German players and maybe bring a few of those in. They've already got the signature of Jan Kirchhoff from Mainz, who is a fantastic defender, 21 for Germany. He'll come in the summer. They tried to get him in the winter, but they couldn't, so he'll be from Bayern. From the summer, Zammer has rammed home this message that Bayern are going after young German talent rather than expensive foreign talent. Dortmund perhaps in need of a bit more strength. I mean, they've had a few injuries. Perisic is now gone. I mean, he wasn't really in Klopp's plans, but he was still a useful squad player. And I think, you know, they perhaps do need a bit of backup in that squad, because it's quite a small squad. And If you start chipping away at it, if you get a few injuries or a few suspensions, it could show some cracks. So, just as Bayern did last year. And, I mean, other clubs, Hannover have tried to bring in a few players. They got Johan Juri. That was quite a big-name loan deal for them. That will help them in defence, where they've lost a few players, Andreas and Felipe, through injuries and various things. But they've also failed to sign a Polish player this week, who they were going after, and were apparently... He was coming over for the medicine check and then got cold feet. So that's sort of still up in the air. So they're looking to get a few more players. But it's January stuff, really, is what it is. It's not nothing sort of really big name going on, nothing really high profile. It's more kind of clubs consolidating their squads and making sure they're strong enough for the second half of the season.
That Giroud move, the loan move to Hannover, I was going to ask you about, Kit, because... Giroud's obviously really not impressed in the last 18 months, 2 years at Arsenal, really been out of the side, out of favour with Arsene Wenger. Is this a great opportunity for not over Hannover to bring in an experienced defender, but for him to rejuvenate his career in the Bundesliga?
Yeah, I think it is, because, I mean, you know, he is a good defender. I mean, he's not, like you say, he's not necessarily been the best for Arsenal, but he's always, I think, been seen as a not a reserve player, but a backup player at Arsenal, and that perhaps hasn't helped him. And at Hannover, I don't think he will be. I think he'll be brought in as a first-team player. They have to fight for his place, obviously, but he'll be brought in as a first-team player, and Hannover need that strength in the defence, where they've lost a few names. So, yeah, it's a big chance for him to kind of reinstate his kind of status as you know, a top-class player in Europe. And then perhaps, you know, out of that, he can... Whether he goes back to Arsenal and has more success there, or gets a move to another club, or stays at Hannover, or whatever it is, but I think certainly it's something. It's like the Perisic move. It's something that will further the player's career, and also is beneficial for the club, and also for the club selling. It's one of those moves where almost everyone will be happy.
Just lastly, finally, Kit, there's been some rumours today up in Stoke, and I'm a little baffled by this personally, but rumours today that Diego has been seen up in Stoke. Potentially going for a trial or a loan move with the Potters. Obviously, he's contracted to Wolfsburg at the moment. Have you heard anything about this at all? Is there any confirmation out of Germany that this is taking place? Is there a likelihood that Diego could be leaving Wolfsburg this January?
Well, I've heard nothing of this, but what I have heard, interestingly, is the idea that Felix Magath is now looking for work in England. And actually, if both rumours are flying around, I mean, it's a big stretch to say they're linked and both of them are solid, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, Diego and Magath have a lot of history, so it'd be very funny to see them again, pitched again together. But I think, yeah, I mean, I know nothing about Diego, but Magath would be interesting. That was one which tickled me today, because he is obviously a very well-known name in Germany and a very divisive figure. And he's the sort of person who would come in, I think, to a Premier League club perhaps and get a good deal, get a good kind of contract, and they'd be very excited at having brought in this man who'd won the Bundesliga so many times and all this and managed so many top-level Bundesliga clubs and then could fall disastrously on his face, as he has done several times at several clubs in Germany. And there would be a certain element of schadenfreude, I'm sure, from a lot of us who aren't perhaps Magath's biggest fans. But it'd be very interesting to see how he coped in England, certainly. Perhaps he's very focused on the physical side of things, famously. So perhaps he'd suit the English game with the harder, faster, stronger thing. But interesting with Diego as well. It'd be very funny to see both of them land at the same club.
Well, Magath, if he likes the physical side of the game, Stoke's the place to go for him, I guess, because they don't seem to buy anybody who's under 6'4". Kit, it's a pleasure to chat to you today here. It's the first time you've been on in 2013. It's great to have you back on the show once again. I appreciate you taking the time out, mate. And it's always good to get into a bit of Bundesliga transfer news with you.
Always a pleasure, mate.
Cheers, mate. Have a very good day. Kit Holden there joining us here on World Football Daily to take us through the Bundesliga news and all the rumours coming out. So surprised, but really quite intrigued by this Diego rumour that he's been seen up at the Potters today. There's a couple of photos that are going around the internet of this. This really poor quality, grainy mobile phone.
We know you love that free bit from us here at WFD. Now go and sign up and get access to a huge archive of our content and interviews, and download the best daily podcast in America. Go to worldfootballdaily.com and become a member today.